All right, praise the Lord. Appreciate it again. We're in revival service. Let me cover a few more quick announcements to say again that right after the last day men get sent here, we're going to take off and go over to Seneca Farms and eat chicken. And so anyone wants to join us over there, that's where we're going to be at. There'll be a pavilion. We'll probably be outside if it ain't raining. Looks pretty good for that right now. All right, so if you have an opportunity to come over and be with us for that, that's right after church. And then also, Brother Mike's going to be here all week. We have missionaries coming in on Thursday and taking over. And so Brother Mike will be at our guest house in the mansion down on Juanita Lake. And maybe we'll go jump in the lake together. But Brother Patterson has been coming to our church ever since the 1900s, as near as I could figure, all right? So I've been here for... in Yates County for 28 years now, and again in Good Samaritan here for 25 years. And so what a blessing again. And I was going to say he needs no introduction, but he does, praise the Lord. Let's see, there's Jason there that he met, and Lynn, praise the Lord, is the new here to Brother Patterson. And so we appreciate again the ministry of Brother Patterson. I wish I could go through and tell some of the stories he's told here. I don't know if you get time to preach another message on tithing. That was an impressive message on tithing. I'll never forget that one.
Went to
Noah for that one. And Brother Mike, you get to know him again as he's been ministering here. And Lonnie, I don't know if you met. I think that was your first meeting of him here. It was yesterday we had a first meeting here. So what a joy. Praise the Lord. Let me go ahead and say that. We will try and have a 10 o'clock prayer meeting here at the church, if you could get by, and we'll just meet and have prayer for about an hour, and then go about our days. Let's go ahead and take advantage of this week and use it for God's glory. Brother Mike, you come and preach with God's laid on your heart, and Lord bless you.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, I have to say, I enjoy coming to this church. It's always been a blessing to me, and you folks have been a blessing to me. I have to say that probably I don't know how many churches I've been in over the years. Pretty sure a lot of churches around the world, around this country, up through Canada, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, New Guinea, Australia, back here again. And Lord willing, in March, I'm going to Peru for 2 weeks to do some teaching and preaching and with another friend of mine. So be in prayer about that for me if the Lord works that out. I didn't think I was going to do any more foreign trips. But the Lord won't let me get out of this one. I try to, you know. But you can't argue with God, amen.
Yeah.
And he would not let me rest until I told the fellow, okay, I'll come. And then I've been fine ever since. So hopefully the Lord let me get there. I thank you for your prayers about that, if you would. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you're turning over there, again, I'd like to tell you that my sweet wife told me to tell all of you hello today. And so hello from Jenny. And she's at church with our son this morning. She lives in Michigan, but she went down to Ohio to visit with him for a couple of days. And then he's getting married. For you who remember him, he's getting married October the 13th. That boy finally found somebody to hook him, amen. And he's a little over 6 foot, and she's the same height as he is. In fact, I think she's a little taller than him. You know, I was telling Bev earlier that my daughter, we were all together, my daughter said, my daughters were telling her, she's taller than you, Kale. And he said, she is not. Her name is Amanda. And he says, she is not. He says, she is taller than you. He says, she is a nice slouch. He said, well, just stand up like a man, back to back, and we'll see. She got it. I'm not kidding you, about a quarter of an inch. She got it. And I said, she is taller than you. He comes, she is not. And she goes like this, it's okay, honey. I'll get the stuff off the top shelf for you. So she fits right in with our family, amen. It's a great fit. What a sweet girl she is. And we're thankful that they're getting married. And he drives an hour every weekend to go visit with her. And then drives an hour back home, you know. And he's in love. He's in love, amen. And I think she's in love, too. But She at least likes it enough to marry him for prison work for that. Now, you say that this is a church. Of all the churches where I've been around the world and around the country, this is my top five list. And now, you say, are we number five? No, top five list means everyone's number one. Amen. So, but you're there with the other four. You're right up there. Amen. I love this church. I love coming here. My ministry all these years has been to struggling churches or small churches. Some small churches aren't struggling as much as some big churches. Amen. But I was telling a preacher yesterday, I've always had a philosophy in 35 years that if I would receive a letter the same day and two churches won the same meeting, and if it was a church of 300 and a church of 10, the church of 10 get the meeting. The church of 300 would have anybody. So that's how I run this ministry all these years, and that's how I always will. So I appreciate you folks having me, let me come, and I'll make this statement, preacher. I don't care if this is true of your life, and you can't afford to have somebody, I'll come. Amen. It doesn't matter. I don't come for the money. Amen. I enjoy the money, but I don't come for the money. Amen. How many of you enjoy money? Amen. How many of you go to work for money? I've gone to work for nothing. Amen. Before, so praise the Lord. It'll happen again, I'm sure, someday. Amen. But God has been good to our ministry. We thank the Lord for it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me. If you'd stand just for a moment with me, if you're able to. If you'd stand, I'd appreciate it. Beginning in verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6 says this. He says, he's talking to Timothy. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And then he goes on to make this statement, verse 8, but be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now watch verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, it's not according to what you could do, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Father, I pray that you take this message this morning and use it to encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us, Father. And Father, if anyone's here that's not sure of their salvation, that you'd save that soul in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. But Tracy, you give me a cup of water back there on the table. My mouth gets so dry anymore that if I don't have something about it. Don't spit in it. Oh, thank you. Give me a little more. I don't know if I should trust him, Deb. Yeah, you're not sure either, man. Here in verse 9, he talks about in the middle of that verse, it's for his own purpose and grace. Now, I preached a message up here one time on the wonderful grace of God. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I preached a message on the wonderful grace of God. But this morning, I'd like to preach to you on this thought. God's amazing grace. The amazing grace of God. And where he makes a statement, and there's a lot of places in Scripture where it talks about the grace of God. Now, let me make two statements before I start. The first statement is this. Grace of God is God's divine influence in your heart. If you look up the definition in Strong Concordance, in the middle of that definition, preacher's going to say, God's influence in the heart that manifests or shows itself on the outward of your life. That's God working in here that's coming out here. That's the grace of God. Every place except for one, which is the book of James. In the book of James, it talks about the flower that fades. It's talking about how that flower dies. And there's no more. There's a different word to use there for grace than any other place in the New Testament. So it's a great, the God dealing, or God giving in your heart, amen, his grace, that it might now show up on the outside. Second statement I want to make before I get started, and this would be a good one for you to remember, because some people use this to live a life that's not consistent with the Word of God. Here's a statement. If you use the grace of God, or if you believe the grace of God, gives you an excuse to sin. Let me stop right there. Meaning this, that some people say, I'm saved by grace, I can live however I want, I can do whatever I want, I can act however I want. Now, I've heard that statement. How many of you have ever heard that statement similar to that? Maybe not those exact words, but people make that stuff all the time. So if you live believing that the grace of God is your excuse for sin. Now listen, you're no longer living by grace. You're not. You're still under grace if you're saved. You know, but you're not living by grace, but you're living by deception. You hear that? You're not living by grace. You'll be living by deception because you have deceived yourself. You've allowed the devil to deceive you. You allowed him to infiltrate your heart. Allowed him to work in your mind by the things around you. He can't touch you. He can't come into your life. He cannot possess you. But boy, he sure can influence you when you're not walking with God where you ought to walk. Amen. So amazing grace. Well, let me take a sip of water because I can't spit if I don't. Now I will preach fast, slow, if you listen fast, amen. Amazing grace. Here in the book of Titus chapter 1, go to Titus chapter 1 with me. And look to Titus just a couple pages over from Timothy, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy there when you come to the end of it. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says this. In the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised, where? Before the world began. Now, verse 9 of 2 Timothy again, chapter 1, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus, what? Before the world began. I do not understand that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Before he spoke the words, the world into existence, he made a plan of salvation for you and for me. To me, that is amazing grace. Why would God, knowing what we were going to be, knowing what we would do, knowing how Adam was sitting and somehow knowing how he would destroy the world, knowing that Noah would come off, and knowing that we descend back to Noah now, and going and look at all that has happened in the world, look at all those who have rejected him, all those who have denied him, and yet he still died for you upon the cross of Calvary. That's God's amazing grace. I don't understand it. And I'll never understand it this side of glory, preacher, but when we get to heaven, we'll know. Amen. But because of that, in the hope of eternal life, which God can't lie. You ever think about that? God cannot. He could not even think about a lie. He couldn't lie. Someone said, well, Jesus could have said, no, he couldn't. Because God can't lie. Amen. Jesus Christ is saved today, when? Yesterday, today, yeah, tomorrow, forever. Amen. I'll tell you, my mind's slipping anymore. Amen. It's getting bad. So, and I still memorize scripture, preacher, but it even gets worse, let me tell you. My wife says, that verse don't go with that scripture you quoted. I said, no, but it works for me. Don't worry about it. Amen. It's the right verse, but the wrong reference. Amen. And but in hope of eternal life, in which God cannot lie, God, Jesus could not sin, Jesus could not lie, Jesus did not lie, because he was God in the flesh, amen. And he gave you the hope of eternal life before the world began. And then, not only was it before the world began, but because if you look at Titus chapter 2 again, look at verse 11, if you're over there, Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared, what? Who? To all men. It was given to all, not given to just a select few. Some will teach today, and even some Baptist churches, pastor, and I disagree with their doctrine and their teaching because it's not right, but they will teach today that God chose so many to go to heaven, and he chose some to go to hell. You don't see where it says he chose anybody to go to hell. The chosen who go to heaven are those who believe Jesus Christ and trust him as their Savior. That's everybody can be saved. Everybody. He did not die for just a select few of people. He died for every man, woman, and child that has ever been born upon the face of the earth. That's why a missionary can leave here and go to Africa. A missionary can leave here and go to Tanzania. A missionary can leave here and go over to Poland. A missionary can leave here and go anywhere and see people get saved. Why? Because that's God's business. That's what he wants. If he chose us to go to heaven and not chose them to go to heaven, he would be wrong. He never did that. He died for mankind, all of mankind, amen. The sacrifice was given that you would be saved, that I would be saved, that everybody around you could be saved. Now, everybody's not going to be saved, amen. We realize that, don't we? We need that responsibility. We need to do something to get the gospel out of these individuals. Psalm 98, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." I'm not the world's greatest singer. I like to sing. You know, my wife, and my son can sing. My grandson, good night. That boy can sing. And you've heard him. He can sing. You know, and my daughters can both sing. A couple of my grandkids can sing. And if I'm singing sometimes when I'd be in the bathroom by myself and I wasn't in the house by myself, my wife would say something like this, or my son would say something like this: "Those words don't go with that song, honey," or "Those words don't go with that song, Dad." And I said, "Listen," I said, "the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song." That's my song. It's a new song, amen. I'll sing it how I want, amen. So leave me alone. And we laugh about that, amen. But it says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things in his right hand, and his holy arm hath he gotten him the victory." Verse 2, "The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness." This is Psalm 98, verse 1 and 2. And verse 2, "The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness, hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen." He showed his righteousness in sight of everybody. Everybody. You know, everybody came off of Noah's Ark. Everybody, and we, the same thing, because the world was destroyed. What do you think about that? Noah's three sons and their three wives and Noah and his wife, and it repopulated the world. And they knew who God was. They knew what God was. They knew how they needed to worship God. And because of those descendants that came from him, eventually just veered off and no longer believed, walked away from God. But he said, "Listen, I've showed it in the sight of the heathen." 98 verse 3 says, "He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God." And I know he's talking about Israel when they go into the land of promised land, they go into Jerusalem, preacher. But I tell you what, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Amen. They've seen what God has done. They've seen how God has held true all these years and still deny him. Well, that was given to all. It was given before the world began. That's God's amazing grace. And it was given to all. That's God's amazing grace. Why would he want to save you? Why would he want to save me? Especially, why would he want to save me? Why would he want to save you, Tracy? Why? No reason. No rhyme. Amen. I don't understand. We know why he saved Deb, because she's an angel. Amen. So we know. The mess with you. Amen. I told you, Lonnie, I mess with everybody. Amen. So watch out. Your time's coming. Just say. Titus chapter 2. Look at it again. Not only was it given before the world began, not only was it given to all. In Titus chapter 2, verse 12 says, "It's teaching us." Here's why it was given. It was given because of a purpose. You have to continue on after verse 11 to verse 12, because it goes and makes this statement. Here's why it was given. "Teaching us and denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope." Looking for that blessed Lord and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that right there, that's the Trinity, amen. God our Savior and Jesus Christ. He combines them together. Put the Holy Spirit in there, amen. You'll find that in Scripture also. That's the Trinity. And he said, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." He tells Titus, "Let no man despise thee." Well, so what? It was given, verse 11, and he said, here's why it was given, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly. That's sound of mind, by the way. By the way, we can apply it the other way. We ought not to be drunks. Amen. By the way, let me go one more step. We ought not to be drinking at all. By the way, let me go one more step. We shouldn't even be touching on wine. Amen. Why? Because wine in the Scripture, new wine, is what Jesus made at Canaan at the feast and the wedding. And it was new wine that's unfermented. Amen. Any Bible student who's worth their salt understands that. So if you believe it's liquor, you're wrong, my friend. And you believe you can drink liquor, you're wrong with that too, amen. You say, you preach that in big church. I preach that all over the place. And why? Because I believe it. Amen. I know what alcohol does to you. How many drinks does it take for a man to be drunk? Only one. It doesn't matter. I tell you, preacher, shame on the world today that's allowing liquor in the house of God. Amen. Pretty soon you're going to have bars where you come sit on a stool and listen to a message. I saw a sign. I got a sign on my phone. It's probably saved in the cloud somewhere because I can't find it. But I know it's there because I saw it the other day. And it was the Methodist. It was on the Church of Christ sign, and with the Methodist underneath it. And it said, beer and Bible study at such and such bar. I got it. Constantine, Michigan is where I saw the sign. Constantine, Michigan. It's sad. Well, they're not Baptists, my goodness. They call themselves Christians. It does matter. Amen. Give the rest of us a bad name. I'm glad when some Baptists think they ain't Baptists off their church. I really am. Amen. And I'm glad I've been there. Some churches over the last 10, 15, 20 years that they put Baptists in their name. I like that too, amen. But teaching us. And he said he gave himself for us, he might redeem unto us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Purifies you. And I remember Elvin Stevens came to my church, pastor, and I probably shared this before, but Elvin Stevens said, he read this text and he said, this morning I want to preach to you on this text. He says about peculiar people, and he goes like this: you all look pretty peculiar. And he said the title of my message today is "Odd for God." And that's what he preached on, "Odd for God." Amen. Did a great job with it too. But it was given for a purpose. Why? That we might deny ungodliness. We might see something that's wrong and say, no, 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 that's the amazing grace of God. He gave us something that would help us so we don't have to live outside of grace. We live under grace. We can live by grace. We can live in grace. Amen. We need to live according to the very grace of God. But what makes it amazing grace? Not just because it was given for a purpose, and not because it was just given to all the world, not just because it was given before the world began, but it justifies. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Let's look at a couple of verses here in Titus chapter 3. Now, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 7. He says this. It justifies it. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Well, I struggled with that for a long time. I was a brawler growing up, and I was a brawler as a Christian sometimes. I'd look for a fight. Preacher, I'd look for a fight. I thought, not a fist fight, but I'd look for an argument, just to argue, you know. He said, no, don't be brawlers, don't be like that, but gentle. So, I'm still working on that one. Showing all meekness unto all men. But we ourselves also were sometimes, watch, he says here, but we were foolish. Amen, weren't we? Sometimes we were foolish. Disobedient, yep. I don't know about you, but I was disobedient. Deceived, amen. We have been deceived. Before you got saved, I'll guarantee you were deceived by some things. He says, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, those things that just gravitate towards the flesh. Living in malice, that's a man that gets the idea to do anything to hurt somebody, that malice. That he says, man, watch. And envy, hateful and hating one another. He said, man, that's the world. He said, we ourselves were. We also were. That's past tense. That's not what we ought to be today. But after the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. Ooh, abundantly. That's a super abundant. It snowballs. It gets better and better and better. Abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. His grace justifies you. What's justified mean? Well, preacher, I probably had the worst definition ever. I just believe it means simply just as if you never sinned. That's how I look at it, amen. And some say that's a shallow definition. No, I think it's a correct definition myself. I think Pastor agrees with me, amen. If you don't, we'll get you straight in heaven, Pastor. No, I know you do, amen. Just messing with you. But, you know, we need to, we are justified. Now, I tell you, I was never justified in my life until I got saved by the very grace of God. Somebody told me years ago, they said, why don't you write the governor of Ohio and get a pardon? I said, I don't need a pardon from the governor of Ohio. I'm pardoned by God, amen. He justified me. If I got a pardon from the governor of Ohio, I still did the crimes. I'm not justified by the governor of Ohio. I'm justified by God himself, amen. He justified me, looks at me, and sees me through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, because I trusted him as my Savior. And no more under condemnation, preacher. But he saved me by his wonderful, matchless grace. That's amazing grace to me.
Amen.
Amazing grace that he can save you, amen. Being justified freely, says Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace. Well, I tell you, I love it. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Boy,
justified freely. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, Romans 3:28. So we conclude that we justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you. Again, that word were. Such were. Such were talking to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth was a mess, brother. Amen. They were in a mess. In both books of Corinthians, amen, they were a mess. And Paul says, and such were. He said, he reminded, this is what you were. But ye are washed. How by the blood of the Lamb? Ooh, amen. But ye are sanctified. How by the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. Then he says, but ye are justified. How? Through the very grace of God. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, I tell you what, my friend, I think we just simply need to know that his blood and his grace just justifies us when you got saved. He looks at you through the blood of his son. That's why as a Christian, listen to me, we're not going to excuse sin. Amen. Remember, we're not going to walk away from grace. Because again, if you say that the grace of God is allows us to sin, then we are no longer living by grace, but we are living by deception. So we need to be careful, amen, that we are going in the right direction with God. So we as you and I as believers, we're under the blood of Christ. That's why if you sin as a born-again believer, you have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just what? To forgive us our sins and what? To what? Cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. You say, Christ, yeah, but I sinned. Yeah, but you're under the blood of Christ. He sees you through here. What happens now, it hurts your relationship with him. You don't lose your salvation. You are still under the very grace of God. That's why he's working in your heart, that it might show out here as a child of God. Getting things right with him, confessing things to him, getting things said with those who are around you that you're not right with as a child of God. That we might do right as born again believers saved by his grace. Why? Because it justifies. Right? Not just because before the world began, not that it was just given to all. Well, I tell you, not just because it justifies, but because it helps in times of need. It's amazing grace, because when you have a need, his grace helps. He tells you in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly, amen, unto the throne of grace. That, I like that, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. His grace helps me, brother. I can go to him at any moment, any time, any hour, any day, and pour my heart out, and he'll hear me. And he will comfort my soul. He'll comfort my soul. Like comfort you can't get from your spouse, like comfort you can't get from your best friend, like comfort you can't get from the church, the Holy Spirit of God will comfort your heart. He'll comfort your soul. To give you that peace that passeth all understanding. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I think we know God can be found, amen. You know what that means to me as a born-again believer preacher? That means when I'm not right with God, I need to seek His face and call out to Him. He's dear to me. He'll never leave me, but I'll feel like I'm way far from Him, amen. Why? We just need to turn back and come back to Him where we are, and we feel like we're close to God again. It's not that God doesn't walk away from you. He never turns His back on you. He never leaves you alone. He's there all the time, amen. Isaiah 55:7 said, let the wicked forsake his way. I know the wicked he's talking here is about the unsaved world, amen. Those who have turned their back, those who have denied Him. He said, let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Boy, I tell you, sometimes we need to forsake our thoughts as Christians, amen. Do you agree with that? Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. That's the only pardon I need. Pardon God. Amen. The only thing I need to get things right with Him is a child of God. Well, then not only is it help in time of need, but it's an amazing grace because it's an abounding grace. It's an abounding grace. Go to Romans chapter 5 with me. Romans in chapter 5. Over in Romans in chapter 5, and I'm going to look down a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 is where we're going to be. He makes this statement. He says in chapter 5, verse 20, moreover, I like this, and moreover, by the way, it's an amazing grace because it's an abounding grace. Watch what he says. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now and then, but where sin abounded. Now that's two words of abound. And then he says, grace did much more abound. There's two words in the scripture that are used for the word abound. The first two words use the same word. And it means if you look it up and you understand the definition, it's the idea of snowballing. It just gets greater and bigger and bigger. And that's what sin does, amen? The sin, it just rolls, and it'll roll right over you, man. The devil don't care about you. Some people don't even, people who aren't saved don't care about you, amen? But God cares about you. So he makes a statement here, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Boy, it is rolling. Where sin abounded, where it was just snowballing over you, grace did much more abound. There's God's grace, abundant grace, because that word abound here, the third time you see it in this verse, it means to superabound. It means it exceeds beyond and above anything that can come your way, anything that the devil can do, anything, any sin that has ever come your way, God has forgiven you for, and He will continue to forgive you for, amen. It superabounds. But man, it can roll over you all day long, but God is greater than that snowball coming down the hill at you. The superabound means abound much more, exceedingly. I think the songwriter had it right when he said, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And then it's amazing grace because it's simply grace. For by grace you be saved through faith, not of works. Amen. Not of works. Why? If it was by work, you could boast about it. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the grace of God, freely given to you and freely given to me, that we might put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon Him to forgive us for our sins. Now, probably sitting in this room this morning, looking out here, I know, three new ones today. Heard your testimonies, amen. Heard about your testimony, amen. Many times before you were ever married, how you were saved, you know, how you were a good Christian lady. How's that working for you, brother? That you were a good Christian lady. Now, I'm not lying, boy. Praise the Lord. A smile on his face. Had a great time with him. I believe he's saved. Because it meant, what's his name? Frank back here, Thomas, and whatnot.
Jason.
He'll come to me sooner or later. I tell you, my mind is gone. It's gone. And then and Tracy and Tommy is sitting next to him there for Samantha and what, you know. I'm a mess. You know, I've heard your testimony. Probably everybody in here. I've heard their testimony, or they talk about being saved. But are you sure? Are you sure? See, I know I'm saved. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. Some people, when they get saved, and I can understand how this would happen, might come to a place where they begin to question their salvation. I never did that, preacher. Because such a change took place in my life that would have never happened if I wasn't saved. Because I didn't care about you, and I didn't care about anybody. Ripped off my own neighbors. Ripped off my mother. Ripped off my brother. I didn't care. Before when I got saved, God did something in my heart. Now, there have been times I've questioned, Mike, how can you do that and be saved? Because you can do anything after you're saved that you did before you were saved. That's where First John 1:9 comes in. Amen. And the closer you get with the Lord, because of this abounding grace, the more He is working in here, and the more He's coming out of here, the less and less this influences you this way. Now, you're coming here, you're influencing this way. You're not allowing this to influence you over here. But I tell you, my friends, I think we just need to understand and walk through the grace of God. Amen? Just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions. First question is this. Are you saved?
Yes.
Have you been born again? If you're not sure, I might pray with you. You might say, Mike, I'm not sure. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody right now? You can slip your hand up and say, would you just pray for me because I'm just not sure about my salvation? Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. Well, that means you're saved. Second question is this, Mike, would you pray for me? Because there's something in the message that you touched on today where God spoke to my heart. How about right now? Just slip your hands up. How about it? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Oh, God bless you. Amen. I see it. Anybody else? How about it? Let's be honest. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. For anybody else, number of hands went up. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. While I'm praying, you just stay right there. Let's stand up. Stand on our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I thank you today, Father, for these that raise their hand, Lord. You know their heart. You know their need. You know their desire. You know the difficulties. You know the hardships. You know the temptation. You know the desires, Father. But God, we pray that you would help us. Help these this morning, Father. Strengthen them, dear Lord. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed before I finish, I'd like to pray for you specifically. So would you slip out and come to the altar this morning? Just slip out and come. How about it? You raise your hand. Slip out and come. God bless you. If you can't get down, you got a front seat you can sit on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. You just come up. You can sit down in the front seat. That's all right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I saw your hand earlier. God bless you. Father, I thank you for these. Lord, not only come to church this morning, but Father, that honestly raise their hand, Lord. Not saying that people who didn't aren't honest, Father. They are, and I know that. But God, thank you for these who see something that needs to have some work done in their heart and in their life right now. Lord, I pray, God, help them. Father, fill them with your loving spirit, Father, that as they even step out of this place today, they will just show forth your wonderful, matchless, loving grace in their lives. Magnify yourself in them, Father. Help people to see Jesus Christ living in them, that we might be a testimony, that they might show others how to be saved, Father. And God, any area they're struggling with, I pray, God, give them victory. Use your Holy Spirit in their lives, Father, to point them in the right direction. Help them, Father, give them that peace that passes all understanding. We give you praise and thanks in Christ's name. Amen. His bow is full yet. We'll let these go back to the seat when they're ready.